Hello and welcome to episode 19 of Ethnically Ambiguous.
19. It's our last year as teenagers, y'all.
That's right, baby. This is Anna.
This is Shireen.
And this week we're going to talk about Saudi Arabia investing in Silicon Valley. What's new?
A possible Syrian Congress united by the evil powers of the world.
Mm-hmm. Greece's refugee situation, which isn't good.
Lena Dunham's weird letters.
Yes, and a look at the Israeli settlements in Palestine over the last 50 years.
And we're going to end it with a call from our fathers because it's Thanksgiving and it's about family.
Hallelujah.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Okay, here we are again.
Hi. What episode is this?
This 19? Is 19.
Oh my god.
This is our last teen year in our life of a podcast.
Next year we'll be in our 20s.
Oh my god.
This is Anna.
This is Shireen.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, so
Thanksgiving
we're recording
Eve.
This.
Yeah.
But honestly, we just recorded like a day ago.
It wasn't a day ago.
Okay,
it
whatever.
Was like 4 days ago. But we wanted to record before Thanksgiving so we can do some holiday talk. And then next week, we'll update everyone on what our Thanksgivings were like.
Mm-hmm.
But also Thanksgiving is a joke because it's just, I mean, Native Americans store, I mean, you know.
The story of Thanksgiving is a myth, but we won't get into that because that's not our problems. We weren't here then.
Yeah, but it is a little bit of just a commercial. I mean, every holiday in America is just about commercial.
Apparently, according to Andy Rooney, it is not a commercial holiday, but let's not get into that because he's old. Well, he's also dead. But.
Well, I mean, I feel like every American holiday is just about how much money you could spend with getting food and decorating and...
Turkeys!
Turkey! Yeah. And
turducken?
Turducken is when there's a turkey and a... Wait, a duck and a turkey? And
the
chicken
the N? Chicken? Turkey? Duck? So there's a chicken in a duck in a turkey.
This is my worst nightmare. I don't eat meat, so...
So
what? I don't like it.
You can't say turducken. Say turducken 15 times.
One of the reasons I stopped eating chicken in particular is because it really freaked me out when you would make it like a whole chicken and like the underside of it. I don't know why.
Sorry, what? What do you mean?
The underside, like you know how it's like it sits like this, like a little round ball, butter ball,
uh-huh.
And you would flip it over and it just looked so strange and like all these. Ugh.
That's why you stopped eating.
That's
chicken?
Not why, but that made
because
me not
of
want to.
Blatant body shaming.
Oh my god.
You're out here body shaming chickens. Like, ew, why do you look like that? I will no longer take part in eating you.
No, that's not what happened. But,
that happens every day. Turkeys are looked down upon for their bodies.
I mean, turkeys are pretty ugly.
Oh wait, turkey or chicken? What are we talking about?
I don't know. There's birds. Birds are better alive. That ends my vegan rant. But, yeah, we're here to talk to you about stuff, and we'll get into some news before we get into too much holiday talk, because, as always, stuff happens. Even if it's only been 4 days, shit went down.
The tagline of this show is stuff happens.
Stuff. Stuffing.
You know my employer's name is?
Stuffing.
Sorry, I burped, as usual. I work for Stuff Media. Ink.
That's sexual.
What? How is that sexual?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Stuff Media is literally the most bland
phrase. I don't know what love
phrase.
Is, okay?
What? Ooh, stuff? That's sexual.
Stuff your stuff.
Ew.
Your stuff.
Well, that's just gross.
Again, I don't know what love is.
Yeah, no. Have you been touched recently? By anyone. Anyone.
We'll get into that later. I have a story to tell you. But,
on air?
Oh, no.
Oh, what? Why are you teasing? You have to tell it on air now.
I will never
what
tell.
What dirty stuff did you get into, Shireen?
It's not anything at all. It's just more of my...
antics. I don't know.
Antics. I have so many antics. Yeah, let's start with some news. Anna, tell us about your favorite country.
Hey guys, it's me, Anna, and I'm here to talk to you about Saudi Arabia. So, oh my God, it's been such a fun week in Saudi Arabia, as usual. Whatever, the prince is, I don't know, losing his mind. You know what he reminds me of? Someone who maybe smoked too many big joints in Amish.
Oh my God, she's been saying this.
Yeah,
all
whatever. It's a funny YouTube video. It went viral. Okay, what am I, 45? Or it's some white guy being like,
kids are laughing
smoking
about it.
Big old doinks in Amish, which doinks are blunts, and Amish is Amish County.
Do people actually call them doinks? I've never heard that.
No one's heard that except for, I guess, some Pennsylvanians who hang out in Amish County.
Doinks in Amish.
No one has ever turned to me and said, you want to hit this doink?
Well, I don't know. Maybe I thought it was maybe very, like, out of the know in terms of teen lingo for a second.
Yeah, we're not teens anymore, I guess. Okay.
We're 19.
What I'm trying to say is that I think the Saudi Arabia prince smokes weed and is, like, ultra paranoid.
Oh. Yeah.
Also, he's probably just ultra paranoid because he's, like, 32 and running a country.
He's like, what am I doing?
No, he's just like, oh my God, did you say something about me? You looked at me funny.
It's like Gossip Girl.
Do you think I shouldn't run this country? Like, I didn't say anything. Well, I don't know. You're acting weird.
Queen
B. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, these big doinks. So, there's this article on New York Times that, like, just gets me so lit on doinks. But it's called Saudi Arabia Fuels the Tech Industry. It's time to ask why. Hi, Rec, y'all read this. It came out a few weeks ago. That's right. I've had this link on our Google Doc for a while. But here's the thing. I don't prep well for this podcast. So I kind of show up and then immediately go, Shrink, do you have 35 minutes for me to read every article I put on here? And usually we don't. So I really skip and choose what I talk about.
This is all true.
No, this is so factual, it hurts. It's because I have a day job where I have to record a different podcast. You guys will not believe how many mics I put deep inside my throat and then leave for someone else to touch and not realize
what
how... Nothing, don't worry about it. But anyway, big doinks and all.
What just happened?
Nothing. Okay. So there's this, this is actually kind of when I read this article, I was like deeply disturbed and I'll tell you why eventually. So basically Saudi Arabia has this, state run fund called the, that's exactly what I mean when I say I don't know everything.
Why you like us. We're relatable, everybody.
Holy crap. What is it called again? Here's the thing. I knew this until I didn't know it.
Public investment fund?
Yes. Excuse me. Okay. So Saudi Arabia has a state run, and by state, I mean like, it's like Saudi Arabia's investment fund for America. So they use this state public investment fund, which is what it's called, the Saudi Public Investment Fund, to basically put money into like venture capitalist firms in America. So like Vision Fund and, what is it called? Sequoia Capital, Kleiner Perkins, Caulfield and Byers. These are all like just American venture capitalist funds who like fund startups and all that crap. Mm-hmm. So this Saudi public investment fund gave like $45 billion to this place called the Vision Fund. And there's also another place called SoftBank, which is a Japanese conglomerate that runs Vision Fund. It's a whole lot of shit.
Okay.
I recommend reading this article. It explains it a lot better than I can. But basically, all this money is put into Silicon Valley. So, like, majority of Silicon Valley is funded by, like, Saudi Arabia and, like, kind of, like,
crazy.
Degenerate regimes. And one of these places that Vision Fund funds is WeWork. And WeWork is, if you don't know what it is, it's a co-working place. So mm-hmm. It's like a building that has like all these different offices you can rent out and like basically have your business there and like rent it. And,
right.
And you have all these other businesses around you and it's cool. And
like you share a kitchen and all that.
Yeah, you share a kitchen, but you have your own office space and all that. And for like months, my job company, our network, our podcast network worked out of a WeWork for like months. Like we moved out of it last month.
That's crazy.
So for the last few months when I've been showing up here ranting about Saudi Arabia, I have just been actively working at a Saudi funded like establishment.
So your rants have been funded by Saudi Arabia.
Yes. So
That's
all that
hilarious.
Stress where I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late.
That was because of Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's where you're going to go with it? That's where you're going to go with it?
I'm just saying I'm a part of the problem, and it is so devastating. Also, this other company, Slack, which is funded by the Vision Fund.
And a lot of companies use that for chatting between themselves.
It's like a messaging platform that can use between, like, workers, and you can create all these.
Yeah, and it's pretty great. I've used it.
Yeah, we use Slack at my job today. Like, we all talk on Slack. Also funded by Saudi Arabia indirectly.
Your life is problematic.
I am a problem and a half. But anyway, I learned this recently. Why have I been hiding it?
Recently, like 5 minutes ago.
Why have I been hiding it? I didn't want you guys to know. I was like, oh, this does not look good for me. Anyway, so this is all really bad. And I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, we're taking money from, like, dictators at this point and then, like, funneling it into Saudi Arabia. Saudi Con Valley.
There's already a Silicon Valley show. There should be a Saudi Con Valley.
I'm going to write that down real quick.
Like, the sequel. The sequel to Silicon Valley is Saudi Con Valley.
Sorry, guys. I'm just, you know, really writing down my genius idea.
She's typing something. I don't know what, but...
I'm typing Saudi Con Valley to myself. Just so I don't forget it, because I will forget this.
It's pretty genius.
Anyway, so Saudi Con Valley is taking all this money from, where do you know, Saudi Arabia. Indirectly, but Saudi Arabia, why do I keep saying Saudi Arabia? Silicon Valley.
Because they're the same thing.
It's like this conundrum, because like, the tech industry, they're like known, or they're like fond of this idea of like being super revolutionary, mm-hmm. and their mission statements like talk about how they like are all about diversity and tolerance and freedom of expression and progressive ideas and all this shit.
Yeah.
And they're part of like, they want to like force like global liberation and open communication and economic productivity like through technology and basically, like, not be a part of the system.
it's kind of a big load of crap.
Right. And then, you know, they push, like, more for, like, you know, companies to have, like, be more inclusive of, like, women and minorities and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're, like, taking money from, like, countries that are criticized for, like, human rights records and all this shit. And you're just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I feel like the reason they do it more so than anything is because, like, no one says anything. And it's money. It's there. So if someone's offering you money and it's not directly saying it's from Saudi Arabia because it's funneled through one fund that's funneled through one fund that's funneled, you know,
to
it's
Japan
like,
and all
yeah,
that.
Like, then you're like,
you're
you
gonna
don't,
take it.
You don't think anything of it. You're just like, oh, well, that's like a $250 investment. Like, how am I going to say no to that? I'm
and probably
a, startup.
A lot of startups like beg for those opportunities, you know, like they,
right.
That's what they dream of. These are this company giving them this large sum of money. So, I guess they never really ask where it's from because they're too excited by the opportunity of being funded.
Right. And here's a good quote from the article from the New York Times. By accepting these investments, tech companies get to revel in the branding glory of global good while taking billions from a government that stands against many of those goals.
Damn.
Government that has an abysmal record with human rights groups, that has systematically marginalized women, that has had much legal due process and that has advocated an extreme form of Islam, that has zero tolerance for just about any religious or intellectual diversity whatsoever.
Fuck.
So those are the people putting money into, like, your iPhone.
Why do you think Saudi Arabia, like why, what's their motive?
Nothing. They just, like, are smart with money.
Whoa.
Their whole thing is like, oh, we put money in there, we make more money, and it comes back, it feels good.
Yeah. Damn.
Okay. But also,
I guess money is larger than their love of money is larger than their love of extremism.
No, I mean, they just want to make more and more money. They just want to double their investments. So that's what happens for them. Because, like, Slack makes money. WeWork is, I believe they were just...
They're growing.
Their net worth is, it just came out. I forget. Damn. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head what their net worth was, but it's really good. But anyway, the millionaire investor, Prince Alawid, he recently just got arrested by the King Salman, bin Salman.
Well, he Muhammad arrested everybody left and right, so.
Right, so he's one of the people that got arrested, and his argument is that, like, he's not part of the Saudi government, so... And the fact that he was arrested kind of, like, shows that he's not part of that. So it shouldn't matter that he's, like, invested in, like, Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. But fools out there. But he also is progressive because he's advocated for women to drive and
progressive reforms. Yeah.
So he's like, okay, but he's still a Saudi Arabian like billionaire who's putting money into all these companies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's very like interesting that Silicon Valley.
That is really interesting because so, like, that quote is just a really good. It's a really good description of like exactly what Saudi Arabia stands for that has nothing to do with this like new age tech boom.
And this is from Freda Kapoor Klein, who's the co-chairwoman of the Kapoor Center for Social Impact. Look, every company has a choice about their actions and inactions. She said companies could choose not to do business with governments whose actions they found troubling, but many of today's tech companies have lost a moral compass. There's an elitism that makes it far too easy for them to rationalize their behavior with their belief that they are the smartest guys. And yes, it's always guys in the room, she said. So there you go. It's just a bunch of like tech bros being like, what? It's money.
Yeah. That's
and then we like
disturbing.
Are you having a good time? But yeah, so the end of the article says, why take money from the Saudis? They suspect it's the most obvious reason, because the money is there and no one is making too big a fuss about it.
Womp womp.
So this is the country we live in. But next time you like are like Googling something, just remember like it's powered by the blood of
blood of Saudi money.
Yeah.
Saudi money. Like, Saudi blood money.
It's powered by the blood of literally, like, the poor of Saudi Arabia who are just being, like, victimized at all times.
Just no, you heard it here first. Silicon Valley is going to be renamed to SaudiCon Valley.
SaudiCon Valley.
I do want to bring up, really quick, this article that we weren't going to talk about. I just want to bring it up for one reason. Russia, Iran, and Turkey have all agreed to hold a Syrian Congress. This is very important because this meeting is coming right before the UN is going to meet in Geneva. And so Putin is making it very clear that he wants to shape the future of this country. And he's trying to even the reporter in this article is saying that these three leaders are trying to plan a new ground for a new constitution in Syria. So they're trying to like shape the country to however they want it to be.
In a joint statement, the three leaders underline the need for all warring sides to release all prisoners and hostages, hand over bodies, and create conditions for a lasting truce.
Yeah, but the problem is...
they want to provide humanitarian aid, clear the Syrian territory of mines, and restore infrastructure wrecked by the long-running conflict, according to Al Jazeera.
So Iran is a major ally of Bashar al-Assad, and he made a surprise visit on Monday, and Turkey has been notoriously backing, Iran's opponents, and so I think they're trying to use Syria as a way to unite these countries together with the promise of reshaping the government to however they want. And just a reminder, this is the seventh year of the Syrian crisis, and it's killed hundreds of thousands of people and displaced more than 12 million. And it's just interesting to see where this is going to lead because all these countries are trying to kind of get their fingers in to the thought that Syria can be reborn into something that they can have use for. And these 12 million that have been displaced, a lot of them ended up in Greece. And that leads me to my next issue, which is this rights group in Greece is urging them to end this containment policy they have for their refugees. Because winter is getting colder and colder over there, and these 20 humanitarian groups, they've warned authorities in Greece that lives will be lost unless asylum seekers that are stranded in the crammed and unsafe island camps are allowed to relocate to the mainland. Because up till now, the refugees are all...
These are Syrian refugees to be?
They're Syrian and Afghani, and they're just displaced people that have been kind of contained on these unsafe island camps that they've been living in these tents that are made for the summer, and they're just not gonna make it through the winter. Like death is
imminent.
Yes.
So what's the plan?
Well, they're trying to relocate them slowly into the mainland, because otherwise you're just trapping these people in these terrible conditions on these islands for another winter. And in March 2016, the European European Union and Turkey, they reached a deal to stem the flow of refugees from Turkey to Europe. And I think this is just going, there's a lot of delays on this. And these delays have contributed to the overcrowding conditions. And it's just kind of scary because you have literally children and people that are struggling day and night to have a shelter. And these people have suffered the consequences of war for the last 3 years. And yeah, it's just, they fucking need to just cut them some slack, like give them a break, you know, like, it's,
yeah. Cut them some slack is like an understatement.
Yeah, for real.
Cut them some break slack.
Some break slack. Speaking of slack. But yeah, more than 25,000 refugees and immigrants have crossed the Aegean Sea to the Greek islands from Turkey so far last year, according to UN Refugee Agency. Of that total, children make up more than 37%. The majority of arrivals have fled war in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. In Lesbos, for example, more than 6,000 people are crowded in the Maiora camp, which was only designed for 2,000 people. There's a quote here that says, it's dangerous for children, families, and vulnerable people to stay in Maiora. Conditions could still deteriorate if overcrowding persists as colder weather sets in. So,
that's bad.
It's super bad, and I guess it's a good reminder this Thanksgiving season to be thankful for what you have and thankful that you're, maybe you have a roof over your head and, you're not struggling to survive cold temperatures, and maybe if you have any sort of money to donate to these places, and I'll try to find some good humanitarian sites to donate to. But in the meantime, just make sure you're informed. And people think that once a refugee leaves like this war torn country, they're like free, but that's just the beginning of this other awful life they have to lead where they don't have a home and they're trying to make a life out of nothing. And
yeah, because they can't just get a job.
Yeah. And they honestly, they must feel like just burdens. And I urge everyone to stay informed and read this article, so you can get better information than what I'm telling you. So there's that. There's
Shabam.
Some news updates.
Real quick before you get into your thing, I don't know if you guys heard about Lena Dunham's well-known racism.
If you haven't, please check her life for the last, like, 20-something years.
Yeah, she's a known white feminist.
She's, what I mean by that is she cares about white issues. She's a feminist that cares only about themselves and their friends, her and Jenny Connor.
Wait, were you coughing because I'm that as well?
What? No, what?
But the point we bring this up is because this past week, Murray Miller, the EP of Girls, was accused of sexual assault by actress Aurora Perrineau. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But, and then she put out this, like, really shit-ass statement that's like, one of the 3% of assault cases that are misreported every year is basically the Murray Miller situation, which is like, bitch, don't make
this is a joint
you.
Statement from her and Jenny, what's her name?
Jenny Connor. So basically they put out this dumbass statement.
For no reason. It has nothing to do with them.
Yeah. They just were trying to defend a friend, which is just like, fuck off. And then she put out an apology and then a Lenny letter, which is their like weekly.
Well, she only put out the apology because she saw the huge backlash she got for even posting the letter because people were like quoting her by saying, like, there's a tweet that she did literally in September where Lena Dunham said, things women lie about, their weight. Things women don't lie about, rape. And then they would like, they sent her this tweet being like, what happened to this thing you said where women don't lie? And just because your friend is accused doesn't mean he's innocent. At least hear both sides, yada yada.
You know, it's a whole lot of just
so she
dumb
got
white shit by her.
She got slammed and she issued this half-baked fucking apology, which was
she
stupid.
Lives in a bubble and I don't know. She'll never really be on our level. She just thinks she's with the people, but she not really is.
Yeah.
But anyway. The point is that one of her writers for Lenny Letter, which is their like weekly like publication that goes out through email, Zinzi Clemens, said that she's no longer going to write for Lena Dunham and that she has avoided those people. By those people, she means like Dunham and her college friends and the people she came up with. She's avoided those people like the plague because of their racism. I'd call their strain hipster racism, which typically uses sarcasm as cover.
It's this like this new breed of intellectual prejudice, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, so this is the rest of her statement. Well, she wrote a huge statement on Facebook that you can read when you go to this link that we post. As a result of Lena Dunham's statements, I've decided that I will no longer write for Lenny Letter. For all of you who are outraged by what she did, I encourage you to do the same, especially women of color. So she's basically asking women of color to divest from Lena Dunham.
She's saying let's hold Lena accountable, and to me that means sacrificing some comfort and a little bit of cash in this moment, because morals are more important than money. And I personally have never been a fan of Lena Dunham, I'm kind of not glad, but like, she's showing her true colors, even if she apologizes for it. So if more people can see what she's really about, then hooray. But I strongly recommend reading this whole statement, because it's really telling of the people that she surrounds herself with. And
Do you want to read the little line you're
on? Oh, yeah. The only Lena I acknowledge is Lena Waithe.
That's funny, because I just saw her walking down the street outside my office.
She's
and then
so
I, like,
great.
Grabbed my coworkers and I was like, we should ask her to do the podcast. And they were like, don't.
What?
Ask her. Because she's like walking down the street on the phone. I'm like, run up to her and grab her and be like, do my podcast.
She'll be like, I haven't heard that one before.
She's going to be like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
And like, tase me.
But yeah. If you don't know who Lena Waithe is, she wrote and she acted in Master of None. And
she wrote the most legendary episode, the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah.
She won an Emmy for it.
Speaking of Thanksgiving. That's a great.
Oh my God!
That's tomorrow. But yeah,
Day of the Dead.
Fuck Lena Dunham. Day of the what?
That's not Thanksgiving.
No.
Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah. And speaking of Thanksgiving and stealing land, I do want to talk about this phenomenal article by Al Jazeera, of course.
Israel had its own Thanksgiving.
Well, 50 years ago. So today marks the 50 years since the UN Security Council passed Resolution 242. What is Resolution 242? It's a resolution used as a framework.
Sorry, Lucian 242, you said?
Resolution.
Oh, resolution.
Did I mumble? I mumble.
I heard Lucian like four times.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't.
Resolution 242. The resolution is used as a framework for implementing the two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. So it's been 50 years since this was implemented. And if you look at this article, you can see exactly what's happened over the past 50 years and exactly how...
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's disgusting. When you see how much land Palestine was in 1948... versus now, and seeing years go by and each decade how much it shrinks because of illegal settlements by Israelis, because of literal demolishing of homes that shouldn't be demolished. Most of the settlements right now they're on private Palestinian property and they can't do anything about it because it's the Israeli government. And I recommend you send this to anyone that doesn't know a lot about Israel and Palestine, that have questions. It's so informative. It's an interactive article and what that means. It has, like, pictures that you can scroll through and all these maps that are very fucking informative.
Infographics,
thank you. But...
Can we read some of these numbers?
Yes, please.
All right, so right now, illegal settlers in the occupied Palestinian territories, a.k.a. Israelis, 600,000 to 750,000...
That's a lot of fucking people. Have you seen the size of that country?
Yeah. There's 150 settlements, 119 outposts. 42% of the West Bank land is controlled by settlements. And the West Bank is Palestine land.
Yeah.
Or
yes.
Was. Who knows? It technically still is. 86% of East Jerusalem is for Israeli state and settler use. And East Jerusalem is technically also Palestine.
Yeah. So I do have to say something. So while a big part of the Israeli settlements happened post-1948, which is when the creation of Israel happened, this article had brought up a really good point that I kind of forgot about this whole time. I've read about this before, but I totally forgot about it. In the 1980s, the 1880s, like over a century ago, a community of Palestinian Jews known as the Yishuv amounted to 3% of the total population. 3% of Palestine were Jews. They were apolitical and did not aspire to build a modern Jewish state. But in the late 19th century, a Zionist movement, a political ideology, grew out of Eastern Europe, claiming that Jews were a nation or race that deserved a modern Jewish state. So the Zionist movement, it cited a biblical belief that God promised Palestine to the Jews, and they began to buy land there and build settlements to strengthen their claim to the land. So Zionism, seriously, is the worst thing to ever happen to that country, to humanity. Zionism needs to fucking burn in hell.
Careful.
I don't know who's listening. but the fact that no one is fucking deserving of anything. Like, the entitlement of Zionism makes my skin crawl. But this, by 1948, prior to the ethnic cleansing of Palestine by the Zionist movement, Jews had control of over less than 6% of the land. As Israel was created in 1948 by Winston Churchill, who had no right to do that. Also, fuck that movie about Winston Churchill is coming out by Gary Goodall or whatever his name is. Because I don't care about Winston Churchill because he made Israel. Not that he made Israel, but he had a big part in creating this country that was not his to create. Sorry. I need to breathe.
Yeah, chill. Just drink some water. How was Churchill? I don't know this.
What? Churchill was the one that, like, appointed, like, he was, like, he signed the document that made Israel happen, basically. Like, as far as documents and legalities are concerned, Winston Churchill assigned Israel to the Jews. Like, he was like, go here, because you've been displaced, and we're so sorry for what happened to you in the Holocaust, so you have this land. Little did he know, well, maybe he did know, that the Zionist movement had already been happening for a long time, and they believed that they were promised that land by God, which is bullshit. No one's promised anything by God. God doesn't exist.
Damn.
So, I strongly encourage you to read this article.
It is pretty. I'm, like, looking through it.
It's
right
really
now.
Telling, wow. And literally, it shows you what the map of Palestine looked like 100 years ago, and it's just literally a map of Israel now. Like, 100 years ago, Palestine was, like, that land is all Palestine. And, I mean, it's disgusting just how long it's been able to go on for, and what's even more disturbing to me is just how little the American news outlets and everything, they don't cover this stuff. They're too busy, like, doling out, like, birthright trips to, like, also, birthright is just a bunch of propaganda. Like, seriously, like, going to Israel and just showing you the best of it, that's not what a country is.
Yeah, like, birthright is straight-up propaganda.
It's propaganda to make people want to go to your country and spend money there and view Palestinians as savages, like the fucking Conan O'Brien special that happened a few months ago. Like, fuck all that stuff. Like, American news outlets, for the most part, like, first of all, the United States, they fund the Israeli military, so they have a stake in this fucking game. Like, they're not going to bash Israel anytime soon on any fucking news outlet. So they're only showing you one side of the coin. You should always be aware of what's happening on both sides, and to be able to do that, you have to read about the actual history of how this country came about and how they got to all the land that they have. Because it's really, really it's abhorrent and disgusting and inhumane. They've been doing this for so long. Seriously, send this to everybody. I recommend it to everyone, even people that think they know what they're talking about. Just read it over. I learned something. I mean, I've been learning a lot of things every day, all the time, but this is very informative. And just to understand the truth of what Israel has done and is doing and the inhumanity of it all. And just know that what you hear on any American news outlet will always be biased towards Israel. I haven't seen, like, the amount of honest reporting when it comes to Israel and Palestine, when it comes from a United States source, is very slim to be. It's very rare that it's unbiased because of how much America and Israel are just buddy-buddy. I need to breathe. But seriously, read the article. It's long, but it's worth it. Send it to everybody.
How long Israel has occupied Palestine is the longest in modern history, apparently, of an occupation of a different country. Or, like, of another country.
And it's not...
It started
correct.
Out it's, as 3% of mm-hmm. Jews, and now it's 100% Jewish. Or, like, run by Jewish territory.
Mm-hmm. It's, It's the fucking worst. And
I could, like, take a nap right now just from all this information.
It really makes me want to just
It's kind of crazy.
Forever.
Like, just, like, the weird self-importance is so strange. It's like, you're not God's people. Like, I'm straight up. You don't believe in hell because it's convenient.
It's really, no one is entitled to any land. Yeah. Even if you're American and you think you're entitled to Native American land, like, we still stole it, so whatever.
Yeah,
we're no different. Like, we're really no different than our little brother Israel. I do want to read one more thing from this article. It says, in 2004, Israel began building a separation wall, which was meant to provide security, quote-unquote, for Israelis by dividing the West Bank and Israel following the second Palestinian uprising in 2000. When did they build a wall in the past? The Berlin Wall! What?
I don't know. I just think it's interesting that they're, like, trying to be like, Arabs are so violent. It's like, they're uprising because you literally have taken everything.
You demolished
them.
Everything. Like, you
have nothing to do about being Arab. It's any person who feels jaded is like that, who feels like you're going to take everything from them is
like when
going
you're,
to react negatively.
When you're pushed to the point of desperation, when you have nothing fucking left, when you've seen your family members die or get blown up or whatever, like, you can't understand what those people have been going through. Like, you there's no ounce of me that even wants to begin to understand what they're going through, let alone the desperation they feel.
No, it has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with ethnicity. It has to do with people fucking over people.
Yeah.
Just like if I went to Shireen's house later, which I plan to do, and I'm going to throw all her shit out the window and be like, this is my apartment. And Shireen's
this
like,
has happened
but
before.
What? And I'm like, fuck out! And then I, like, slap her around a little.
And then she wakes up and she's like, I'm sleepwalking.
And then I just literally stand around her apartment with a gun for the next, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
And say, hey, if you come in here, you gotta show me some papers. And then you know, if Shireen literally starts trying to beat the shit out of me, I can't be like, well, she's Arab.
Yeah.
No, it's because I literally came into her house and disrupted her whole way of life and then was just like, you're wrong. You're wrong for wanting things. It's like, fuck you.
It's the thing that makes me the most annoyed is that they make it sound like it's what they deserve after the Holocaust. Like,
they didn't do that to you.
Yeah. Like, not only that, but like, you can't destroy a people just because you were also destroyed. Like, there's no eye for an eye here. Like, we're gonna end up blind by that point. You know what I mean? Metaphors. So, send this to everybody you know, even if you think you know what you're talking about, read it through. Please, please, please. Al Jazeera, you never fail to deliver the best fucking news. Thank you so much.
And again, Al Jazeera has been banned in Israel. Oh my God, that's so interesting.
Oh wow, wait, really?
Oh my God, that's so interesting.
Why would Israel ban Al Jazeera?
Oh my God, I don't know.
Maybe because they're not biased. So yeah, let's, sorry for all the heavy stuff, but life is heavy. Just like you're going to be after Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Is that a fat joke?
Oh, my God. It was just...
Ow!
PC culture, y'all. It's really getting to me.
I knocked my headphones off.
What are you going to do for the holidays, Anna? What are your holidays... What was Thanksgiving like in the Hosnier household?
Hosnier? My last name is Hosnier.
Hosnier?
Hosnier.
I always want to say that, but I don't want to say hose. But it is hose.
Okay, what do you want me to do about it? Ho is in my name.
Okay, sorry, I didn't... Hosnier, sorry.
Culturally, we're known as hose.
How do you pronounce my last name?
Yunez.
Okay.
What?
That's right. Sorry, no, it is
Yunog. Yunz.
No. Are you okay?
Yunez.
Yeah, it is Yunez.
Sorry, the headphone was on
People
my ear.
People always say it with a Z, I don't know why, but it's Yunez.
Yunez.
Yeah.
Yunez.
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 Anyways, how was Thanksgiving like in the Iranian American Hosnier household? Did you guys do anything?
I mean, it was fine. We just had normal Thanksgiving. We usually went to my Amu Mansour's house in Danville. That is East Bay Area. Bay Area East.
You guys would have turkey and stuff?
Yeah, my dad really likes to cook, so he'll like make turkey and all that, and they make the typical like Thanksgiving meals.
That's so funny.
So
not funny. I mean,
I don't know. We do Thanksgiving very normally. Like they'll throw in like random Iranian food too.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
There's always Syrian food at the Thanksgiving table at my.
But they do turkey, green bean casserole.
Really? Green bean casserole?
Yeah, my mom likes
That's
to make it.
That's the whitest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, my parents like mix it up on Thanksgiving.
My mom has never made a casserole. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
But that's interesting to me.
My mom makes this really good, like, sweet potato, like, mashed potato, sweet potato, and then she puts, like, all these marshmallows on top of it.
This is my dream.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's tasty.
Oh, my God.
They also make mashed potatoes, gravy. They have, like, canned cranberry. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I don't like the concept of a cranberry coming out of a can.
Me
and then
either.
It, like, holds form of the can, and it's, offensive.
It's weird.
What do you eat that with? I don't know. I never eat it.
What do you eat it
I'm
with?
I'm very like, particular
the
about the weird cranberry out of a can.
No. But there's always Syrian food at the Thanksgiving at my parents' house. My mom even stuffs the turkey with, like, the Syrian dish. Like, Syrian, like, rice and bulgur dish.
Tasty, like Syrian stuffing.
Like, my mom didn't even know what stuffing was until, like, 5 years ago. Like, she didn't even...
she read a book.
She, like, went to Costco and bought, like, a box of stuffing. And, like, we made it. And she was like, why would I just eat bread like this? Like, she was, like, eating pita bread with hummus, being like, Americans and bread need to, like, calm down. But she was not a fan of stuffing. But she's made it herself, I think, recently, and she's, like, liked it better because she put her spin on it. But there's always hummus. There's always pita bread.
So you guys do more of, like, a Syrian-centric Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and we used to have a whole turkey because my mom has two brothers living in San Diego, so they come over to our house with their kids and their wives and all that, and then... I'm really excited because this year, my uncle, who has been living near Davis, California, he's been working on a farm. He's my favorite uncle, and he might be coming down to drive down with his son. But I hope that happens. I haven't seen him in, like, 10 years. Mm. So that might happen. And the true meaning of Thanksgiving will happen. Family. But, yeah, I'm curious to know, like... I don't know, like...
That's funny. My parents really leaned into the American custom of Thanksgiving.
That's interesting.
But I think they like to cook, so I think they kind of were like, oh, this is an opportunity to, like, try and cook something different and, like,
I just remember my mom being so stressed. My mom did the majority, if not all, of the cooking.
First of all, why the fuck does it take 10 years for a turkey to cook?
I don't understand.
The one time I cooked a turkey with my dad, like, I was like, oh, fucking kill me.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes, he'd be like, oh... Let's check. Not ready.
Like, okay. I remember, like, I don't know how many years ago, like 10 years ago when I first became vegan, Thanksgiving was a holiday I dreaded. And my mom was like, what are you going to eat here? Like, I'm so stressed about what you're going to eat and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know, man. But I'm going to, hopefully I can go to my house. I'm driving there as soon as we're done with this.
Oh, for all?
To San Diego, yeah.
For all.
But hopefully I can, like, get there early and
Have you ever had tofurkey?
I've had tofurkey slices and I'm not a fan. I don't like fake meat.
It's weird.
It weirds me out.
I really like tofu, but tofurkey is weird.
No, tofu and tempeh, I can eat that all day.
Like,
but when,
so why the fuck is
when
up
you're
with
trying
tofurkey?
To be meat, like, I'm not eating meat for a reason. I want to pretend that I'm eating meat, right? I don't know. I don't know. This is my own qualm with tofurkey.
Okay.
But
yeah, what are you going to eat tomorrow?
I don't know. Vegetables, starch, potatoes, you know.
Dude, I'm the queen of mashed potatoes.
I used to love mashed potatoes.
My dad had this huge masher. I don't know the name for it. It was originally for like kubide, which is Persian thing where you would like mash all this like stuff.
Yeah.
So I would get wild on those mashed potatoes.
Well,
it was like a great way
potatoes.
To like deal with your family on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
just some
mash things.
Potatoes.
Do you guys use that little like mortar and pestle thing to make garlic?
Yeah.
I like doing that.
My mom likes to put them really high up so I can't play with them. I think it's a thing from my childhood. I would take them and like put weird shit in them. So now they're still really high
That's
up
so
from like
funny.
Years later, like where I'm like, you know, I'm like taller than you now. I'm like, I can get to this.
Me and my sister would play with them too. We would like mash up walnuts and put them back in the shells.
What?
That's weird.
That is literally some shade about you guys on your family because they just like open the wall and like the fuck is this.
I don't know, I literally was remembering that as I was saying it. I don't know why we did that.
Yeah, I don't know why you did that either. You guys are there you go with your Shireen antics again.
You know, side note, walnuts are cool. They're good for your brain and they look like brains. Isn't that cool? Like they look like half of a walnut.
That sounds like farmer propaganda. It looks like a brain, must be good for it,
but it is good for your brain.
No, I believe you.
Okay.
I don't actually think that's farmer propaganda. I have a friend who lives on a walnut farm and...
Whoa! Side note, do you know what a cashew apple looks like?
No, I have no idea.
It's
a cashew apple?
Cashews come from cashew apples. Look them up right now. It is so fucking weird. Cashews, they come from this little fruit, or it's not little, it's like a pepper mixed with an apple, and cashews grow from the bottom of it.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
It is so...
That's called a cashew apple? Yeah. I always thought it looked like a bell pepper.
Yeah, bell pepper, that's what I mean. Yeah, bell pepper.
Wait, but what?
That's what in my head I was thinking of bell pepper, and then you read my mind, apple. Sorry. But isn't that crazy? That's what cashews come from. Look it up, cashew apple, everybody.
But cashews are so small that it's almost like...
Like, how did you decide to eat that part?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
So, like, a cashew tree... It must be really hard to get cashews if you have to take one of those out every single time.
Instead of, like, eating them by the handful from, like, a mixed nut thing.
Wow.
Thanksgiving. Wait, what else about Thanksgiving do you want to talk about? My dad likes doing this thing every Thanksgiving where he wants everyone to go around and say what they're thankful for. So I'm really looking forward to that tomorrow.
We don't do that at all.
My dad likes to do corny stuff sometimes. It's cute.
My parents will just be like, okay, food's ready, eat. It's like, okay. Yeah, this year I think they're going to my cousin's who just had a baby.
Ooh.
And my dad literally cannot tell me what the baby's name was. When I was talking on the phone with him the other day, he was like, Sherwin, Charvine, Sherman, Irvine. I was like, what? Irvine? That's why? He's like, Shervine? I don't know. Shervin?
That's hilarious.
Sherman? Like, he literally could not tell me what the baby's name was. I was like, what is it? He's like, I'll text you later. Like,
when someone tells me, I'll text you.
Should we call him and ask?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if he'll answer.
Maybe I should call my dad after. Oh, this is a good way to end this episode, by calling our parents.
Okay.
Okay, you call yours and I call mine after.
Okay. Here's the thing. My dad likes to talk, so we're going to really have to wrap him up quickly.
Okay. We'll call my dad next.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi.
Hi, Dad. You're on the podcast.
You're on the you're on Ethically Ambiguous. This is Shireen. That's Anna, obviously.
Hi, Shireen. How you doing? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thank you.
You know, I've always wanted to meet you, and I have never met you. Maybe one day we'll meet.
You guys met over Skype when we were talking when
really
I was in
meeting.
Iran.
It's not really meeting.
Yeah, I remember. And I have a little bit cold. After I recover, I will be drive over there. Hopefully, we will see you guys go to dinner or lunch.
Yeah, we can
go to Flame in
Westwood. I love Flame.
Westwood.
You took me to Flame.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're calling because I wanted to talk to you about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
What is your favorite food to make on Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving, and I will make the turkey.
Yeah.
I will make the sweet potato.
I love sweet potatoes.
Mashed potato.
Yeah.
And the other thing is around that included the salad, vegetable, and all those, you
healthy
know,
stuff.
Yeah, come with that. And I don't make too much fatty stuff. And we have to watch our, you know, diet.
Yeah,
naturally.
And in the meantime, we are going with you guys tomorrow and sitting and eating the turkey and all other stuff.
What's your favorite part about Thanksgiving? Do you have a favorite part?
Favorite part is the family get together, you know.
Aww.
Have fun together see each other.
Are you going to miss Anna this year?
Oh, absolutely.
Dad,
yes.
You're so media trained, I swear to God.
sure. Wish you guys a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving.
Okay, I have a quick question for you. Thanks, Dad. I wish you a wonderful Thanksgiving as well. But quick question, what is my cousin Sarah's son's newborn baby's name?
Sherwin.
It's Sherwin. You have confirmed that it is Sherwin.
Sherwin, yes.
Sherwin or Sherwin?
Sherwin, I think is.
Oh, you think. Yeah. Now we're back to this again.
Sherwin. I think V-I-N.
Sherwin.
S-H. Sherwin.
Okay,
if
Sherwin.
I am
Sherwin.
Spelling correctly.
And is this a normal Iranian name?
It is. Some of the people, yeah, they use over there. It's not so popular in the Iranian name, but some people, yes, use it, that one.
Does it have a meaning or a translation?
I don't know what is meaning. I will find out for you.
I know what my name means in Persian. What does my name mean in Persian? Shireen.
Shireen is the sweet. Shireen is
really set that up.
Very popular name in Persian, you know. Some of the poetry talk about Shireen and a lot of stuff. Poetry. Shireen is very popular.
Yeah.
Shireen. You know, Maryam is older sister. Another older sister is daughter's name Shireen in Urumiye.
Oh, Maryam's? I have a cousin, Shireen?
Yeah. He's Urumiye.
Am I your cousin?
She's studying English, you know.
Wait, I'm sorry. Why have I not met this cousin?
I don't know. And that time you didn't. We were in the Urumiye. We couldn't meet her. But her name is Shireen also.
Popular. Dad, I've never heard of this cousin before. How come no one told me there was a cousin Shireen?
Anna, I am your cousin.
I don't know why they didn't come over there. And the Maryam is a stepsister. The daughter's name is Shireen. And
around
our family.
Now you have a Sherwin.
This
and
is absurd. Okay, we'll have to,
Shireen
I'll have to call
is
you back.
About the Sherwin. Shireen is mostly go to female.
Oh, yeah, I know. No, I knew my name was sweet. I just wanted you to say it.
Yeah. And Shireen is just go to boy.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it was nice talking to you. We have to
call Shireen's parents
I'm
now.
I'm going to call my dad because talking to you makes me miss my dad. So
have a good, wonderful, and wish you guys well.
Thanks. Happy
Dad.
Thanksgiving.
Wonderful Thanksgiving. Okay, I miss you guys.
I miss you too. I'll call you tomorrow.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, we're about to call my dad, Baba, on my phone. Okay.
Shushu!
Oh! Baba!
Hey, Tinti.
Hi, Baba.
Hey, hello.
Okay, I have to tell you something. You're on my podcast right now.
What?
What?
Really?
Yeah, this is Anna. Anna, say hi.
Hi.
Anna's here.
Hi.
I'm standing with you in the studio. You're on the podcast. We're talking about Thanksgiving. And I'm driving to San Diego as soon as this is done. But I was just wondering what you thought of Thanksgiving and what your favorite part of Thanksgiving was.
Just getting together. This is my favorite part. Seeing my girls around me and just looking at you guys. It's my favorite time of the year.
Yeah. What's your favorite
food? Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. You're just adorable. Can I just...
Oh, thank you.
What's your favorite food to eat on Thanksgiving?
Of course, the turkey. What else?
But we don't eat turkey like Americans do. We eat it with hummus and pita bread.
The kebab?
Oh, and the kebab, too. Yeah, we have kebab this year?
No, we don't have kebab this year. Just turkey.
Yeah. So? What do you
want
to say? Well, you got unreal reserved.
Trying to wrap it up.
I would
love to have some cheesecake, but I don't think we're going to have cheesecake tomorrow. But my cheesecake
like
is my favorite dessert.
You don't like
I do not.
Oh, okay. Sorry. We just talked to Anna's dad, so it made me miss you, and so I wanted to call you. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon. I love you.
Bye, Baba.
Bye, Halway.
Bye. Well, there's that.
Trying to wrap that up real quick.
He was like, as soon as he heard he was on my podcast, he was like, and we're done.
And why are you laughing?
Yeah.
Wow, it's so weird to like hear Brown.
Wasn't he so
parents.
Happy when he answered the phone though?
Like, how are we even gonna know the
Shushu!
Difference anymore?
That's our name, by the way. That they call me Shushu.
That.
Yeah.
God, Brown parents, Brown dads are like so
cute.
Hilarious to
me. They have like a cute side and also like a And not, like, yeah.
So ridiculous.
I love them. They're so great.
Just funny.
Just having my girls around me. And
this is so funny.
All of us together. Family. So, yeah. I hope you're with your family this Thanksgiving to every listener of ours. And
I thought he was saying cheesesteak.
Oh.
And I was like, that's so interesting you guys heard of cheesesteak.
What's cheesesteak?
I don't know.
Like
steak
a Philly
with cheesecake?
Cheese?
I don't
cheese
know. Steak? I literally know
my
nothing.
My dad loves cheesecake. Like, yeah. It's his favorite thing ever. Like, same. Every restaurant we go to that has cheesecake, we have to get cheesecake.
Yeah.
The only thing is,
have you ever taken him to the Cheesecake Factory?
Yes.
Okay. did he have a heart attack that one?
Well, all of, I mean, me, my mom, and my sisters, we're all, no, we're lactose intolerant, so I can't really enjoy cheesecake.
Oh,
and so,
that's a blow.
But he also, like, tries to eat, like, doesn't eat sugar for his, like, early onset diabetic things. But
nice. Okay.
Now we're talking about my dad's health problems.
all right, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Enjoy your holiday. You'll be hearing this after Thanksgiving, so I hope you enjoyed it with a past tense. Yeah.
Shireen's dad loves cheesecake. You heard it here first.
And I'm Shushu.
She's
signing off.
And my cousin's son's name is Shervin.
Shervin.
We have uncovered the truth.
Shervin.
Shireen, you gonna bite that ass?
I bite that ass.
Boom!